Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, and we're going through Ezekiel. We're in chapter 41, and when I left off, we were discussing images, graven images, the commandment there. And we're reading here in Ezekiel about how the children of Israel were commanded to, guess what? Make graven images. That's right. Cherubims, palm trees, faces. So that the face of a man was toward the palm tree on one side, and the face of a young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. And it was made all the house round about. So we have cherubims and faces and palm trees, images graven. Yes, in the temple of God. So, and obviously these things did not violate the commandment. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or worship or serve them. So we understand that we're not to make images of anything that is in heaven, anything that is in the earth, anything that is in the sea. Those are the words to bow down and worship and serve them. And that includes images we can't see, because a government is an image of a thing in heaven. See, God has a government. We have an image of a government. We're allowed to have a government on earth and make an image of a government that's in heaven. We're just not allowed to bow down and worship it and serve it. We're to serve Him. This government, if we have a government on earth, it is to serve Him. It is below His government. It is subservient to His government. His government is higher. When we raise that government up, it becomes that idol. It becomes idolatry, and that's what the nations do. That's what's going on today. They said that God's government is nothing, and that the governments of man are everything, so you must bow down and worship the image. And that's what it means. Now, let's apply it otherwise. Okay, we know that there's the RCC, the Roman Catholic cult out there, that wears the cloak of Christianity and the Bible, but inside they're, you know, full of ravening wolves and dead men's bones, as the scripture says, like they're whitewashed sepulchers. They look real good on the outside, but the inside is full of death. And they venerate skulls and bones and pictures and statues of the Queen of Heaven and statues of dead men that they've canonized and called saints in their cult. And they have pictures of their Jesus. And so we're not to have an image of anything that is in heaven to bow down and worship it. So we're not even to have an image of God. We're not to have an image of Jesus or Yahshua or the Mother Mary or His Mother Mary or the Queen of Heaven, or any of these dead men called saints, or the living God over there in Rome. You know, the Most Holy Father, Papa, the Pope, a living flesh and blood image of God, to bow down and worship it. So we're not supposed to have anything. Throw all your idols away. Worship the one true, invisible Heavenly Father. Commune by Him, with Him, by living in His kingdom, receiving His Holy Spirit, and in obedience, turning your life over to Him, and in obedience, remaining in His kingdom. That is true worship to Him, is obedience to His commandments. If you're not obeying Him, you don't worship the Most High. If you put the laws of man before His laws, then you are an idolater. You're worshiping an image. Even if it is not an image made with hands, it is an image in the likeness of something that is in heaven, and that is God's government. But it is not His government, because it says, you can murder. That's right. You can murder your child up until it's born. Before it's born, it has no rights, and you can murder it. God's law says, thou shalt not murder. We already discussed that with the thou shalt not kill commandment is a murder statute. There's no caveat that says before it's born, because it's alive before it's born. The scripture, if we use the scripture to interpret the scripture, we realize that that child is a living being in the image of God from the moment of conception. So it's murder by God's law, but by the laws of man, they give you license to break God's law. You are an idolater, engaging in licentiousness and murder. Adultery, it's fine by the statutes and the laws of men. It does not, but by God's law, it requires a death penalty. It's required for adultery. most grievous sin, you know, and the thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's right there in the top of breaking the commandment of loving your neighbor is taking his wife. So, and that's how we interpret the scripture. So thou shalt not make any graven image to bow down to them, to serve them or worship them. No image of anything that is in heaven or on the earth or in below the sea to worship them. That includes any image of any swimming thing, any image of any beast or crawling thing, or even an invisible image that only exists in the minds of men of a government. A government is an image. And that's very important when we want to understand what the image of the beast is. Because remember, if you go jump now to prophecy in chapter 13 of Revelation, that the second beast made an image to the first beast. And that shows us that governments are images. That governing an authority is an image. And I believe that America is the second beast. And guess what came out of America? Yes, the United Nations. And what is the United Nations? It's a world governing body. And what was the first beast? The Roman Empire, in whatever form from the time that it began, around the time of the Messiah, just slightly before that, the Roman Empire rose up, that beast, the first beast, rose up, and it's morphed and changed over the years into what it is now. But that beast exists from that time until the Messiah returns. And it's a world governing power. And an image of that would be a world governing body or power, which is what the United Nations is. And guess where the United Nations came out of? America. The second beast created an image to the first beast. And that's what the UN is. It's an image. It's a world governing body that is an image in the likeness of the first beast, which is a world governing power. Prophecy unfolding in history before our very eyes. So that's my discussion on images. Let's continue. Didn't want you to get too bored with the description of the temple, so I had to throw all that in there for you. Ezekiel 41:19. And it was made with cherubims and palm trees, so that the palm trees between the cherub and a cherub, and every cherub had two faces, so that the face of a man was toward the palm tree on the one side, and the face of a young lion toward the palm tree on the other side. It was made through all the house round about. From the ground unto above the door were cherubims and palm trees made, and on the wall of the temple. The posts of the temple were squared, and the face of the sanctuary and the appearance of the one as the appearance of the other. The altar of wood was 3 cubits high, and the length thereof was 2 cubits, and the corners thereof, and the length thereof, and the walls thereof were of wood. And he said to me, this is the table that is before Yahuwah, by name, the Lord, the Almighty. Verse 23, and the temple and the sanctuary had 2 doors, and the doors had 2 leaves apiece, 2 turning leaves, 2 leaves for the one door, and 2 leaves for the other door. And there were made on them, on the doors of the temple, cherubims and palm trees, like as were made upon the walls. And there were thick planks upon the face of the porch without. And there were narrow windows and palm trees on the one side, and on the other side, and on the sides of the porch, and upon the side chambers of the house, and thick planks. We're in Ezekiel chapter 42 now, and verse 1. Then he brought me forth into the utter court. And I believe that means outer court in English there. Properly, yeah, exterior, utter court. The way toward the north, and he brought me into the chamber that was over against the separate place, and which was before the building toward the north. Before the length of 100 cubits was the north door, and the breadth was 50 cubits. And over against the 20 cubits, which were for the inner court, And over against the pavement, which was for the utter court, was a gallery against gallery in three stories. And before the chambers was a walk of 10 cubits breadth, inward, a way of 1 cubit, and their doors toward the north. Now the upper chambers were shorter, for the galleries were higher than these, and the lower, and then the middlemost of the building, for they were in three stories, but had not pillars as the pillars of the courts. Therefore the building was straightened more than the lowest and the middlemost from the ground. And the wall that was without over against the chambers toward the utter court, on the fore part of the chambers, the length thereof was 50 cubits. For the length of the chambers that were in the utter court, 50 cubits, and lo, before the temple were 100 cubits, and from under these chambers there was an entry on the east side, as one goeth into them from the utter court. The chambers were in the thickness of the walls of the court toward the east, over against the separate place, and against the building. And the way before them was like the appearance of the chambers which were toward the north, as long as they are they, and as broad as they, and all their goings out were both according to their fashions, and according to their doors. And according to their doors of the chambers that were toward the south was a door in the head of the way, even the way directly before the wall toward the east, as one entereth into them. Then said he unto me, the north chambers and the south chambers, which are before the separate place, they be holy chambers where the priests that approach unto Yahuwah shall eat the most holy things. There shall they lay the most holy things, and the meat offering, and a sin offering, and a trespass offering, for the place is holy. When the priests enter therein, then shall they not go out of the holy place to the utter court, but there they shall lay their garments, wherein they minister, for they are holy, and shall put on other garments which shall approach to those things which are for the people. Now when he had made an end of measuring the inner house, he brought me forth toward the gate, whose prospect was toward the east, and measured it round about. He measured the east side with a measuring reed, 500 reeds, and the measuring reed round about. He measured the north side, 500 reeds, and the measuring reed round about. He measured the south side, 500 reeds, with the measuring reed. He turned toward the east, toward the west side, and measured 500 reeds with the measuring reed. He measured it by 4 sides. It had a wall round about 500 reeds long and 500 broad to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. Chapter 43. Afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. It was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city, and the visions were like the vision that I saw by the great river Chebar, and I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came unto the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of Yahuwah filled the house, and I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me, and he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places, in their setting of their threshold by my thresholds, and their posts by my posts, and the wall between me and them, they have defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed. Wherefore, I have consumed them in mine anger. Now let them put away their whoredom and their carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Thou, son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house, and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house upon the top of the mountains. The whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. And these are the measures of the altar after the cubit. The cubit is a cubit and a hand's breadth. Even the bottom shall be a cubit, and the breadth a cubit, and the border by the edge thereof round about shall be a span, and this shall be the higher place of the altar. And from the bottom upon the ground, even to the lower settle, shall be 2 cubits, from the breadth 1 cubit, and from the lesser settle, even to the greater settle, shall be 4 cubits, and the breadth 1 cubit. So the altar shall be 4 cubits, and from the altar to the upward shall be 4 horns, and the altar shall be 12 cubits long, 12 cubits broad, square in the 4 squares thereof. And the settle shall be 14 cubits long, and 14 broad, and in the 4 squares thereof, and the border about it shall be 1/2 cubit, and the bottom thereof shall be 1 cubit about. And his stairs shall look toward the east. And he said to me, Son of man, thus saith the Lord God, and here we have the Adonai Yahweh in the Hebrew. These are the ordinances of the altar in the day when they shall make it, to offer burnt offerings thereon, and to sprinkle blood thereon. So here we have the instructions for the rebuilding of the temple when that comes to pass. And I don't know, Ezekiel is well into the 70-year desolations of this temple and the city. Of course, they had restored the temple, and it was 70 years, as I gather it, from the time that the temple was destroyed by the king of Babylon after the 11-year siege to the end of the 2300 days when the temple was finished again. That's my understanding from Scripture, and that's the timeline that I have for that in my booklet, What Year Is It? Because this is that period of time that we're reading about now, which Ezekiel is in, the 70-year desolations, is part of the reckoning of the timeline from the Scripture that we determine what year it is. And if anyone's interested in what year is it, you can go to my website and you can see the posting there on What Year Is It? It's a fantastic Bible study if you're into prophecy, if you want to know what year is it. And while that's important to me is what year is it from creation? I've seen other people like the Usher chronology, and they determine what year of they determine the year of creation. Well, I know what the year of creation was. It was the year 1. How about that? See, there's no question in my mind of what the year of creation was. It was the year 1. But see, when they wanted to answer, there you had Usher and you had Lightfoot. They wanted to answer the question, the year of creation. They wanted to know what year it was B.C., before the Common Era, before the Roman calendar. And so Usher came up with 4004. Lightfoot was correct with his 3929. I came up with 3928 through my own reckoning, my own study, totally apart. I didn't learn about Lightfoot till after I was done. And I came up with 3928. He came up with 3929. before the Roman era. But my question is, what year is it now? Not what year was creation. And for my determination, the year of creation was the year 1. And the year now is 5940. And that's all I can say is give or take a year or two even, you know, because there's no way that we can be accurate. And if anyone's honest, I know a lot of these people, like I read some of these chronologies and they go 9 a.m. and they give a date of September, whatever, spring equinox or something, 9 a.m. and they give a Roman date, B.C. creation. And I just think, wow, you know, how presumptuous can you get? I can't be that presumptuous. I can say, you know, give or take a year, maybe two, from the chronology, the clear timeline, and that's as clear as it gets. You know, is we get to be close, but not exact, because when the Messiah said, "No man knows the day or the hour," yeah, I believe he really meant that we can't know the day or the hour. So if you say creation happened at 9 a.m. on some Roman date, well, there was not even a Roman calendar in, so that's highly presumptuous, I think. So I can't be that highly presumptuous to give an exact Roman dating for creation when Rome wasn't even in existence yet. I do find it a little bit comical, I must admit. But anyway, I have the study there and on my website, crosstheborder.org. Scroll, you know, look on the right-hand column, you'll see a link there. It says, what year is it? Take a look at it and see what you think. And you'll find out we have about 60 years left before the 7th millennia begins, before the year 5999 from or since creation. Yes, it matters little to me what year it is in the Lord, in the year of their Lord God, the Pope. Okay, we'll continue our discussion here of the temple by way of Ezekiel. Thou shalt take the blood thereof and put it on the four horns of it, and the four corners of the saddle, and upon the border round about. Thus shall be thou cleanse and purge it. Thou shalt take the bullock. And see, we're talking about, now I'm going back into prophecy, because we have all the answers here. It was 2,300 days to the cleansing of the temple. And here we're talking about cleansing. Thus thou shalt cleanse and purge it. Okay, the cleansing of the temple, 2,300 days. And those were literal days, not years. It didn't end, because if you go by years, it was 1848. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't you remember the cleansing of the temple in 1848? There was no temple. That isn't years, that's days. There's nothing in the text or anywhere in the scripture or in the prophecy or the chapter or the book that allows you to translate that in years, any more than there's anything in the book or the text of Daniel that allows you to put a gap between week 69 and 70. It's just not in there. So we continue, thou shalt cleanse and purge it. Thou shalt take the bullock also of the sin offering, and he shall burn it, and he shall burn it in the appointed place of the house without the sanctuary. And on the second day thou shalt offer a kid of the goats without blemish for a sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they did cleanse it with the bullock. And we'll pick up here when we get back. You're listening to Cross the Border. And yes, again, I would like to hear from you. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and email me or leave a comment there on the contact page. We'll be back.